It's not a product, it's a technology.
It's an education challenge.
A regenerative suspension?
There will be a growing demand for industrial photovoltaics.
Pumped hydro.
Innovation in the financing space.
The high-speed train is in all our interests.
All political lines.
Australia is a solar paradise.
The market is moving much faster than that.
You've got something that's transformational.
Solar window in a can.
Beyond Zero. Global warming science, solutions and action.
Taking it to a do-it-yourself level.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Beyond Zero Emissions show, recorded in the studios of 3CR Melbourne, syndicated around Australia on the Community Radio Network, and podcast on the internet at bze.org.au and 3cr.org.au. You can also follow us on Twitter at BZE Tech Show. Today we'll be playing an excerpt from the keynote speech at the 2016 All Energy Exhibition in October. You will hear Mark Williamson, Executive General Manager, Scheme Entry and Entitlement at the Clean Energy Regulator, discuss market impacts of the renewable energy target and sector development opportunities to build investment in the large-scale renewable energy target.
Now it gives me great pleasure to introduce the keynote address for this morning. Mark Williamson, Executive General Manager of the Clean Energy Regulator. Mark and I work together quite a lot. We're both in government doing different parts of the renewable energy puzzle. I'm sure Mark will tell you exactly what he does within the Clean Energy Regulator. But one of the things that's very interesting is they keep very close tabs on exactly what the build of renewables is and whether or not we're going to meet our target. So I'm sure we're all interested to hear whether or not we are. Thanks, Mark.
Thanks, Steve. In this short presentation, I'm going to build a simple argument that the 2020 target of 33,000 gigawatt hours can be met. It's there to be met, and there's great opportunities. I'll also be explaining a little bit about why we're seeing such a high large generation certificate price, and again, that financing is going to be the key. Before I jump into the detail, could I ask for a show of hands as to who would find it helpful if I give a simple explanation on how the large-scale renewable energy target works? A lot of hands, so thank you for your honesty. I didn't want to make any assumptions. Most people have heard about the target, but it still seems to be enshrouded in a bit of mystery about how it works. It's a very simple supply and demand scheme. So the target, when we talk about that 33,000 gigawatt-hour target, it's actually not a build target, it's a demand-side target. So the liable parties, there's about 119, typically mainly electricity retailers, and as the target progressively increases, and I'll show you a little bit about that in the presentation, what happens is those liable parties have an increasing obligation to annually surrender certificates to us. And they do that based on what's called the renewable power percentage that the minister sets in regulations every year on our recommendation. And they simply multiply their liable acquisitions by that percentage. And that percentage will increase as we move through to 2020. So it's a demand-side target. On the supply side is accredited renewable power stations. And they can create a large-scale generation certificate for every megawatt hour of renewable power they generate from a renewable energy power station. So essentially it's the demand obligations on the electricity retailers that provides the pull and the incentive to build the generation. And I'll cover that through the presentation. So I'm going to give you an update. We had a new role given to us when the bipartisan agreement was reached about 15 months ago to agree to the new target of 33,000 gigawatt hours by 2020. And that's to report annually to Parliament on progress towards the target. So we did that the first time in May this year for the 2015 calendar year, and the RET works on a calendar year basis. So I'll be giving you the first insights, as Ivor said, on where we see progress compared to what we said was needed. because we said that innovation in financing will be key and the pace of financing will be key to meeting the target with adequate liquidity of certificates along the way, I'll also give you some brief insights in a report we commissioned Ernst & Young to do to look at innovation in financing. And finally, I'll tell you what most of you in the room probably already know, and that is that I think solar will take a bigger slice of the runway to the 2020 target than most had anticipated, including what we had said in the first annual statement. And solar can be built quicker, and with the support of ARENA to drive the price down, I think solar could be a dark horse both in terms of market share and potentially providing more liquidity along the way than most analysts currently think there'll be. And I'm talking about liquidity for large generation certificates or LGCs that the liable parties need to surrender to us to comply with their obligations. The other thing, just to frame how the scheme works, is that if liable parties don't surrender the right number of large generation certificates to us, they pay a $65 penalty. It's quite clear from the explanatory memorandum on the scheme that is non-compliance with the scheme. It's a penalty, it's not tax deductible, whereas the input cost of certificates is. So you'll often hear about the penalty price being post-tax equivalent to around about $93. So, our first annual statement, in simple terms, what we said was the 2020 target is achievable. That there needs to be about 6,000 megawatts of new build, and that's a little over a doubling of the existing build in the scheme since it commenced in 2001. We also said that half of that 6,000 megawatts need to be firmly committed, and that means a final investment decision in the normal understanding of that term. That would have to be committed in 2016 to provide adequate liquidity along the way, and that financing will be the key determinant of the pace of future construction. Now, I've got the link there for the report. The actual annual statement is a simple two-page read, and I'd really commend you to read that. It's part of the full RET administrative report, so for those who are interested in the detail or have a major insomnia problem, I recommend reading the full RET administrative report. But please, if you do nothing else, read the simple two-page summary. It does frame both the opportunity as well as the challenge. So, the opportunity on this graph. You'll see there's two kind of dark blue line and a light blue line. The light blue line goes to around about 33,000, which is the target. But there are other schemes that leverage off the large-scale renewable energy target. The two that are most material are the ACT feed-in tariff, where their policy intent is to surrender those certificates to us. So it's a voluntary surrender of those certificates. Also, Green Power operates by surrendering large generation certificates. So that's why I say the target of 33,000 gigawatt hours is a demand-side target. We estimate in the supporting chapter to our first annual statement that that's probably equivalent to a build signal of more like about 37,000 gigawatt hours, because we have to allow for both the target being met demand-side, 33,000, and what will be voluntary surrendered through Green Power and the ACT feed-in tariff. There's a few other little bits and pieces at the moment, such as some desalination plants that also results in some voluntary surrender. So there's a large surplus, which I'll talk about shortly, which is rapidly diminishing, but that wedge you can see on the screen is the opportunity, and a huge opportunity to leverage. So why have we had such a high price run-up? What you'll see is the couple of dates we've indicated in the scheme there is when there was government opposition, a provisional agreement, then the target being met, and once the target was met, we really saw the price launch up from about $50 to where it sits today at a little over $89. So it is running up very close to that post-tax penalty price of $93. The little inset diagram on the top left-hand side of your screen shows the surplus. So when the scheme was split, there was a surplus of, which stayed in the large-scale scheme, about 32 million large generation certificates. That's been rapidly declining after the last annual surrender period, which is February each year. So after February 2016, there was about 18 million. That's going to rapidly drop to about 10 million come February this year, next year. Then it declines in the 2017 compliance year to probably about 4 million. And Bloomberg New Energy Finance estimate at this stage, based on the known pipeline of build, that there could be a structural deficit of certificates in the 2018 compliance year. And they estimate that's around about 3.2 million. We say that number is plausible, but as I said before, I have a sneaking suspicion that solar that can be built a lot faster, both at the commercial, industrial and at the utility scale, may in fact provide more liquidity. So it's that real tightness, the market seeing scarcity in that 2018 year, which is causing the run-up in the price. But that run-up in the price is providing a huge build signal, because we're talking about $89 a megawatt hour purely for the certificates in terms of the spot market price, and on top of that you get your price for the electricity. So I'll leave you to look at that price signal. So that huge price signal will bring on the build and increase the probability of the target being met. And that's why I argued the scheme is working just as it should. So huge opportunity there still to leverage, which I'll go through. So how have we gone so far? We said 3,000 megawatts need to be firmly committed this year. So far we're at 350, which seems rather short. But there's another 1,480, which I would bet my house on. In other words, there are strong counterparty offtake agreements, Ergon Energy, Origin Energy, all supported by ARENA. So these are projects, the 1,480 megawatts, that we believe it'll only be time before it gets to the stage of being financed. When we look at what happened last year, there was only about 400 megawatts of firmly committed build in the 2015 year. So there's been an enormous step up driven by that high LGC price. But the pace has not come on in terms of financing as quickly as we said we'd like to see it happen, which is why others like Bloomberg are saying we will see very tight liquidity, and that's why the price is running up. So I'll go through a little bit about that pipeline so far. So the first slice, about 350 megawatts firmly committed. That includes projects such as Goldwyn, White Rocks for about 175 megawatts. When we look at that next slide of probable projects, that includes projects, I think about 480 megawatts supported by ARENA, but a range of other projects with strong counterparty offtake agreements. So we would say it's only time before that gets firmly committed. Following on from that, though, and I've clicked twice to me, so the light blue bar is the AGL Powering Australian Renewables Fund, where AGL has said they're going to build 1,000 megawatts, a gigawatt of renewables build through that fund. So we haven't banked that as yet. We've been quite conservative, but I think most of us would be extremely surprised with everything AGL has said, that wouldn't go ahead. So that brings us close to 3,000 if you include the AGL. The next dark grey bar there is what we say is possible build, and that includes, I think Origin Energy has been one of the most transparent on the ASX about its need to comply to build more projects. And it is out in the market actively trying to sell the Stockyard Hill project, which I think is around about 450 megawatts, with an offtake agreement. They want the offtake agreement to get the LGCs to comply into the future. So there are some very, very solid things. Finally, the rest of the build there is... the rest of the space there are still some what I'd call great leads out there. The Clean Energy Finance Corporation with Palisade is looking at bringing equity to bear very strongly in build, and I think there's some great opportunities for projects to get financed in that way. And there are a range of other demand-side factors we monitor, such as Synergy looking for large generation certificates. The Victorian Government scheme could potentially support new build to the 2020 target. So there are a lot of good prospects out there, but also great opportunities for you in the room to participate in that build. So, innovations in financing. One of the things when the target was first reset at that 33,000 gigawatt about 15 months ago, everybody had to work out, well, what do we do next? So the liable parties had to look at, well, how do we comply? The developers needed to look at how they can get projects financed. What we heard was a lot of negativity in the early stages after the target was set, and a lot of developers saying, look, the banks want a 15-year power purchase agreement, offtake agreement, and we can't get the big liable entities to talk to us. And the retailers were saying, look, our contracts with our customers, both domestic and commercial, are relatively short, so we can't commit to 15-year offtake agreements. So we really thought it was worth stepping back and asking Ernst & Young to look at the whole financing process through fresh eyes and to look at what innovation can be brought to bear. So again, I'd commend you to look at this report on our website. I won't go through too much detail because there won't be time in this presentation, but we basically it showcases all the innovation and financing happening in Australia, everything from the projects that are being financed on a merchant basis, such as Goldwind, through to the AGL path, and showcases all that innovation. But also through Ernst & Young's international networks, it looks at some of the innovation happening overseas that we could potentially use in Australia to get projects financed. In particular, corporate offtake agreements happens in a much bigger way in the US, where really big companies like Google contract directly for new renewable build and delivery in that way. There have been some attempts in Australia that haven't worked too well, but we think that's one of the great opportunities. Also, the big three, the three largest retailers, and that's Origin, AGL and Energy Australia, only have around about half the liability. I said before there's about 119 liable entities. The smallest 50 have about 3%, so there are a lot of small entities in there. So at the end of the day, if the big three are the only ones who can write an offtake agreement, we need to have other innovation come in to fund the other 50% of build that is necessary to provide the liquidity for the smaller entities. So that's where there's a great opportunity for further innovation. So a little bit about solar, and this is a graph extracted from the report we commissioned Ernst & Young to do for us. And I'd like to again acknowledge the great work that ARENA's done to drive down that cost curve. Most were talking about solar being cost comparative with wind by 2020. It's clearly come a hell of a lot earlier, hasn't it, Ivor? So that's great news. And we're seeing a huge uptake in commercial and industrial solar PV, particularly in that 100 kilowatt to 500 kilowatt. We're probably going to get double the accreditation applications this year compared to last year. And I think we're in the early stage of an exponential takeoff. I think the industry needs to get a little bit smarter in terms of how to sell that commercial industrial solar PV, you know, have the finance companies at their hip as part of the arrangement. So there's a huge opportunity there and a huge opportunity at the utility scale. And while we say that Bloomberg estimate of 3.2 million shortage of certificates in 2018 is plausible, I think there is an opportunity that if we see a lot of solar projects financed by early next calendar year, they can be built before the end of 2017, and the acquittal date for 2018 is February 2019. So a lot of solar being committed early next year could provide that extra liquidity. So I think there is a great opportunity for solar. And by the way, we do say in our first annual statement, all of our estimates and modelling, which is quite transparent, we worked on the assumption of 75% wind, 25% solar. We'll certainly be adjusting that, I think, to a much higher proportion solar. So, to conclude, the demand is there. And by that, the target is set in stone, according to both Ministers Hunt and Minister Frydenberg. They've both confirmed that the target of 33,000 gigawatt hours is set in stone. Our messaging to the liable parties, to the retailers, is clear as the regulator. We expect you to comply. We've always had a greater than 99% compliance in all of our schemes. We expect them to comply. However, if some decide the $65, if they're not paying much tax, is the cheapest way out compared to paying the spot price, We do have the ability to name and shame, and we will name and shame in a way that makes sure their shareholders and their customers hear exactly about it. And we'll use social media. We're modernising as a regulator. We're trying to leverage social media. We'll use social media if we need to. So to the liable parties, do not try it. Your obligation is to find certificates. That brings on the new build. It's absolutely non-compliance with the scheme to take the penalty option, and it's not on as far as we're concerned. So the demand is there. It's rock solid. The projects are there. We say in our annual statement, and it's in the Ernst & Young report as well, there's around about 9 to 10,000 megawatt of projects with DA, with development approval, and there are more getting development approval every day. So there are plenty of projects there. The money is there. We know that there's plenty of money in the economy, but a lot of risk aversion to invest. And this is not just a problem for renewables, but there's a risk aversion. So there's money looking for good investment returns. So our view is it's about innovation to bring the three of those things together, and we hope the Ernst & Young report will help do that. Thank you.
We have time for questions. We have four microphones around the room, so if you just make your way up to one of the microphones. While you're getting there, I might just take Chairman's prerogative and ask you one, Mark. Given that I can get well over $80 for my large-scale generation certificate, but only a little under $40 for my small scale, could I opt not to get the upfront payment for my small scale and jump into the large-scale scheme instead?
Thanks, Steve. Great question. It's one of the interesting quirks is there's an upper limit for the small-scale scheme of 100 kilowatt. The bottom end of the large-scale scheme is actually 10 kilowatt. But my plea to you is don't throw projects in the 10 to 100 kilowatt in the large-scale scheme, because it'll kill my team who have to process the accreditation applications. However, what we've seen in the past when the LGC price was a lot lower, we did see that the business model tended to be to sell sub-100 kilowatt systems, in other words, to maybe subsize the system to get the upfront benefit of the... Because in the small-scale scheme, as Ivor said, you get the certificates upfront, 15 years in advance. And so people wanted to get that upfront discount. The industry had been selling price A as a standard price, price B is if you sign the certificate, you get the upfront discount. I think it's a more sophisticated sell, and there's a great opportunity for, you know, to sell the right size system. We're seeing a lot around that 300 kilowatt for business, which seems to be a bit of an emerging sweet spot. Sell the right size system, but you need to have those who can provide a finance lease to make it a cost effective and option for business to take up. So we would certainly encourage you to look at the opportunity of selling the right size system over 100 kilowatt and hopping into the large-scale scheme.
Thanks, Mark. Maybe start up the back there.
David Leach from ITK. I guess when I look at the state-based schemes, I see that the ACT was incredibly successful at getting lower prices for consumers with their reverse auction process, which is to be emulated in Victoria, for the fairly obvious reasons that you've got a state government backing with a 20-year contract, which is far superior to the banks in terms of financing. And you've got those 20 years, whereas the REC scheme with its uncertain price runs out in 2030. That's all you get the RECs for, and the scheme itself ends in 2020. So that's question one. Why won't all the people just go for the Victorian and subsequently Queensland schemes rather than the RET target? And the second point is that the 33 terawatt hour target, as you say, is set in stone, but I mean, I doubt there's a single person in this room that thinks that's enough renewable energy over the next 15 years. So it's perfectly obvious that the scheme's got to be replaced or changed with a new scheme as time goes on anyway, which makes the uncertainty and the cost of capital higher again. I just wondered what your thoughts were about that.
Okay. Thank you. I'll take the first part first. Just to clarify, the target is 33,000 gigawatt hours at 2020. As the question said, the scheme goes to 2030. the demand target flatlines from 2020 to 2030, so it stays the same. I guess the question is, firstly, with the Victorian scheme, my understanding is that for projects through that scheme to 2020, they will be able to produce large generation certificates, and those certificates will be available as liquidity. So they're in fact linking the Victorian proposal for projects to 2020 is to link very closely, so it'll actually support the target being met, and those projects will be able to get a large generation certificate and will be able to sell those certificates into the market. So in effect, the Victorian scheme piggybacks off it. My understanding is that the Victorian proposal post-2020, because that demand number flatlines to 2030, that projects won't be able to, that are supported by that scheme post-2030, won't be able to get those certificates. So that's my understanding of the scheme. So the primary opportunity is still, certainly the ACT scheme had certainly kick-started and kept the industry going while there was some inertia in the RET, but the real opportunity is that spot price to leverage for projects going forward. So the second part of the question was...
It was 33 gigawatt hours isn't enough. So look, does that add to uncertainty? Yeah.
Certainly when the government put its 26 to 28% targets on at Paris, there was a bit of a stacker diagram. It assumes the RET is met, the 2020 target is met in terms of Australia's Paris obligations. But it still shows further work to be done. There's been a policy review foreshadowed for 2017. The Climate Change Authority has released its paper on what it sees as the policy options. I think it's clear that you're correct in the question that more will need to be done. The Climate Change Authority's report suggests an emissions intensity trading scheme for the electricity industry. If that goes ahead, then that would provide some competitive advantage to renewables post-2020. Alternatively, it is possible that in the policy options that some form of increasing and extending the RET could be put on the table. But that will be looked at in the 2017 review.
Thanks, Mark.
You have been listening to Mark Williamson from the Clean Energy Regulator discussing the market impacts of the renewable energy target. The Beyond Zero show is brought to you by the climate solutions think tank Beyond Zero Emissions and is recorded in the studios of 3CR Melbourne and syndicated around Australia on the Community Radio Network. You can listen to this show and any other podcasts we've done by going to www.bze.org.au and clicking on podcasts. Thanks for listening, and I hope you can join us again next week.
It's not a product, it's a technology.
It's an education challenge.
A regenerative suspension.
There will be a growing demand for industrial photovoltaics.
Pumped hydro.
Innovation in the financing space.
The high-speed train is in all our interests.
All political lines.
Australia is a solar paradise.
The market is moving much faster than that.
You've got something that's transformational.
Solar window in a can.
Beyond Zero, global warming science, solutions and action.
Taking it to a do-it-yourself level.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.